Song makes you think just a little bit. You know, I wasn't there physically, but thank God my sin was there. And I can say with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. And I hope you can say the same. Well, our scripture reading this morning is actually the same one as last week in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you found it last week, you ought to be able to find it this week. And I'm just going to read the first 12 verses of this great little chapter in scripture here in just a bit. And today's message is a part two of what I've called signs before the second coming. Our text here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 lays out two main signs that must happen before Jesus Christ comes back again. Now, this local church in Thessalonica, this Thessalonian church, had received a word from either some itinerant preachers or whatever, but they had received word that they had actually missed the day of the Lord. They were told by prophetic word. Someone said they had a word from the Lord. They heard a sermon. They received a letter in the mail. You know, read the newest book that had just been published on the subject. But all of these other messages said that they had been left behind. That the second coming, and believers being gathered together to meet the Lord in the air, the rapture, that these events had already happened. And this local church just missed out on it. They were just left out of this great event. Well, Paul eases their angst in this letter by reminding them of his former teaching when he was there and taught them, and he taught them regarding these about some of these future events that must take place first, that is, before the second coming and before the rapture. And he lists two main signs. There are others that are listed elsewhere in Scripture, but here in this passage, he just lists two main signs. Last week, we focused on the first one, which was the apostasy. And this week, we tackle the other one, which is the person of the Antichrist. And so from this text, just give you the conclusion right now, Jesus Christ will not return until the Antichrist has been revealed. That is what this text teaches. And this man of sin, or man of lawlessness, as he is called, he will mimic the ministry of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Antichrist. He's going to kind of try to do things the way that Christ did, but he's just going to do it in a very wicked and evil way. And our text today highlights some elements of his, quote, ministry, or his time when he is, after he is revealed. And some of the things that this text is going to say is that this man is going to have some rather bold statements that he will make at the temple of God in Jerusalem, as well as there will be a lot of miraculous events that surround his personage. And all of this will be a big deception that will deceive the whole world. Now, the practical application for us today in this is that, first of all, it does help us with speculation about the identity of the Antichrist. I don't know if you've ever been in or hear people talking about that in debates. You know, who is it, and is he here, and all, you know. Well, this text will really help us cipher out who this guy is, if he shows up in our lifetime. And also, just by practical help for us, it will help prepare us as the people of God for a future deception that will in fact engulf all of society and many within the visible church. That is the apostasy that we talked about last week. Now Jesus, he's already told us about this. He says, see, I've told you beforehand. I've already told you what's going to happen. So that he tells us beforehand so that we would be prepared when it is at hand. That is why he tells us the future before it happens. And so if you have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and again, if you're willing and able, please stand, and I will read the first 12 verses out of the New American Standard. You can listen as I read, look at the screen behind me, or just follow along in the translation that you have. And what a blessed people we are that we have so many copies of God's holy and inspired Word. Well, let's listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan and all power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. And let's take a time for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your kindness to us in so many ways. In every second of the day this past week, you have sustained our life. You have provided for all that we need, and we have not lacked any good thing from your hand. And Father, we thank you for having your Spirit inspire these words to tell us of things that will happen in the future. Lord, we know not whether it is the near future or the far future, but Lord, we thank you for telling us, and we pray that your Spirit might prepare us, that we might heed the words of our blessed Savior, your Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. And that, Lord, His words might sink into our lives, and we might think about them and grow in our most holy faith. And Father, I would ask that in this, as we conclude this holy hour, that Lord, you would keep us from error and deception, not just in general, but in this sermon. And that, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing to you and edifying to your people. And I pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, by just a way of a real quick review, kind of for what we talked about last time in these two main signs before the second coming. Again, look at verse number one, kind of sets the subject matter. Okay, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about and instructing the church about. Now, we request you, brethren, that with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. And so the subject matter, very clearly, it's about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. This is the rapture of the church, as we kind of more a more familiar term for us. The same thing He mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that we who are alive and remain when our Lord comes will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. So again, he's going to instruct us about the second coming and about the rapture. In verse number two, he warns the church. He says that you be not quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed, either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Again, this local church was disturbed because of a teaching about the timing of the second coming and the rapture. And it got them all out of sorts because they were told by, you know, a quote word of prophecy, a sermon that was given in church, you know, a letter that was received that supposedly had Paul's name on it, that these events already happened and that they just missed it all and they were left behind. But then he tells them in verse number three, but let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. He says, church, please don't get out of sorts over this false message that you have heard. Don't be deceived. The second coming won't happen. The rapture won't happen unless something else happens first, until something else happens first. And what he mentions first is until the apostasy comes first. This is what we talked about last week. Now, apostasy is a falling away. And there is coming in the future a great falling away from the faith. Many will depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit expressly says that some will fall away and depart from the faith and give themselves over to the doctrines of demons. Jesus says in Matthew 24 that many will fall away and they will begin to hate each other and betray each other. That this is going to be a wide spread phenomenon. Can I tell you, the church is not as big as we think it is. It just is not. And the day, this coming day, will show it for what it really is. In fact, it has been said that American evangelicalism is a mile wide and an inch deep. You know, I mean, we're huge, right? It's a mile wide, but it's only an inch deep. And when the sun comes out and when the heat is high, you know, shallow waters will quickly evaporate. You know, a temporary lake in the desert looks like a great big body of water until the heat is turned up a little bit, and then most of it will just go away really quickly. And that is kind of what happens in the apostasy. You see a vapid faith, a vacuous faith that is just really just kind of empty, will evaporate in a difficult day. Shallow decisions are not deep enough to withstand a deception and the difficulty that is just around the corner. These shallow decisions won't cut it in that day, and they will quickly go away. Because to stand in that day, you need a full-throated and stout-hearted disciple, not just a one-time flippant decision to follow Christ. And so the apostasy, he says, the apostasy happens first. And so an apostasy is just around the corner. It's just over the horizon. Don't know how far, but it is just around the corner before the coming of the Lord. He says, church, don't be deceived. That day won't come. It won't happen until the apostasy happens first. That happens first. Well, then he gives us another sign. The first one is the sign before the second coming is the apostasy happens. The second sign is that the man of sin is revealed. Just look at it in verse number 3 again. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. And so this second big sign that the Apostle Paul reminds the church of is that the man of lawlessness, this man of sin, must be revealed first. That is, before the subject matter, the coming of the Lord and us being gathered together to Him. This man must show up on the scene and be revealed. Now, there are many monikers in the Scripture for this man of sin. He is called the man of lawlessness, or some of your translations will say the man of sin. He is called the son of destruction or the son of perdition. He is called the Antichrist or the little horn. In the book of the Revelation, he is referred to as the beast. And all of these titles, all of these names, are synonymous terms. They're just different ways of describing the same person. This man of sin, this man of lawlessness, this son of destruction, this beast, this false prophet, this little horn. And again, he has to show up first before the coming and before us being gathered together to Him. I was just listening to the radio yesterday to a program I like to listen to, and a preacher had this cute little saying. I like cute little sayings, and it really kind of stuck with me. But he said, the Antichrist will not appear until we disappear. A great little play on words there. The Antichrist won't appear until we disappear. It's a great saying, it's just wrong. Because the Scripture actually says the exact opposite of that. Again, look at verse number 3. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. And so before Christ comes, we got to know who the Antichrist is. That's just kind of the order that this is laid out to here. Now, the subject matter of the Antichrist, or who the person of the Antichrist, has been a subject of much speculation throughout history. People want to know, who is the Antichrist? And you read, Christians throughout church history, and there's a lot of names given on who the Antichrist might be. Several of the Roman emperors were given as possibilities, especially by the early church and under the great persecution that was brought upon them. Nero was thought to be an antichrist as well as Domitian. Marcus Aurelius, you know, his character is in a very famous movie, The Gladiator. But he was seen at the time. Is he the antichrist? Diocletian, who greatly persecuted the believers. Is he the antichrist? That's what they thought at the time. Moving a little closer to our time and even to our own denomination or association of churches, in the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, which is kind of the foundation for the Philadelphia Confession of Faith for Baptists to hear. You know that in this old Baptist Confession of Faith, that it names the Pope as the Antichrist, as part of the Confession of Faith. That's what Baptists thought. And it was part of their confession of faith. And that wasn't unusual. Many of the, in fact, most of the Protestants coming out of the Protestant Reformation and the break from the Roman Catholic Church, they saw the Pope was the Antichrist. And they named him as an Antichrist. Moving more particular to our time in history, and our day, it seems that the President of the United States is often a popular choice, an option. You know, I wonder if the President is the Antichrist. I mean, since I've been paying attention, you know that every president, since I've been paying attention, from Reagan to Trump, every one of them, I think there's been speculation wondering if they were the Antichrist. I remember when President Reagan was shot, and it was just like, oh, is he the Antichrist? Here he's, you know, he's, you know, survived this wound. Is Reagan the Antichrist? You know, Bush 41 and his New World Order. Oh, is he the Antichrist? You know, President Clinton. Oh, there's a man of sin, right? You know, George W. Bush, Bush 43. You know, is he it? You know, Obama comes in, you know, and brings all this immorality into our world. Is he the Antichrist? And then, of course, Trump. Oh, I mean, you know, you hear that all the time. Is Trump the Antichrist? In fact, I'll have to give a little disclaimer here. The only president, at least in my recent time, I haven't heard this speculation is President Biden. I never heard anyone speculate that maybe he could be the Antichrist, and maybe it's because they didn't think he was up to the task. But it seems like every one of our presidents, there's been speculation. Is this guy him? Well, how do we recognize this man of sin, this Antichrist, this son of destruction? How do we recognize him if maybe being the president of the United States is not a prerequisite? I don't know. But how does the church know who he is? Well, the Apostle John in 1 John 2 and verse 18 gives us a good guideline, at least to think about this subject. 1 John 2:18, he says, "Children, it's the last hour, just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming. And even now, many Antichrists have appeared." Wow, Antichrist is coming, and even now in his day, many Antichrists have appeared, and from this we know it's the last hour. And so there have been many Antichrists throughout time, throughout church history and redemptive history. After the French Revolution and Napoleon comes on, they thought Napoleon was the Antichrist. You know, this godless revolution in France and this stuff coming on, the guillotine and all. He's it. Hitler's it. Stalin's it. You know, and throughout time, there has been many names given, and the scripture says there's been many of them. But there is one of them that is to come. There's been many of them throughout time. But there's one main one that will come at the end of time. You might think say that there's always one waiting in the wings. Satan always has his guy. Just waiting on God's timing. Is this the right time to put him forward? But there's always been one around. But there is one that is to come. Well, how do we recognize him? How is the church to know this is the guy? There's been so many names suggested throughout church history and even in our, you know, every president, you know, is this the guy? Well, the Antichrist will mimic the ministry of Jesus Christ. He is the Antichrist. He is the opposite. And he will mimic the ministry of Jesus Christ just in a very opposite and in a very evil way. Other places of scripture, we won't ferret this out. The Antichrist will come to power in a very specific time frame, 3.5 years, just like our Lord's ministry was 3.5 years. The way he speaks will set him apart, just like the way that our Lord spoke set him apart. Nobody ever spoke like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, so too, no one's going to speak like the Antichrist, because his words will be full of blasphemy and boastful words as he blasphemes God and angels and the saints in heaven. There will even be a resurrection, as it were, with this Antichrist, in a way just kind of mimicking the true resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried for 3 days and 3 nights, and gloriously rose again. Well, so too this man is going to have a sword wound and be healed. Those are found elsewhere. But our text today lists some things that will be the sign. This is how we'll know who he is. There'll be some statements at the temple, and there will be some working of miracles. Okay, this is what he is going to lay out for us. First of all, the temple. Okay. Now, one of the things that showed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah was that he boldly went into the temple. And in the temple, he made earth-shattering statements and teachings in the temple of God. And he did some remodeling of the temple of God. In fact, one of the prophecies of this in Malachi chapter 3, the first three verses, we read, "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me." John the Baptist was going to go before the Lord. "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi," the priests, "and he will refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness." You see, one of the things that showed Jesus Christ of Nazareth that he was Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, was that he boldly went into the temple. He began his ministry by going into the temple and cleansing the temple. And at the end of his ministry, he went into the temple and he cleansed the temple. The bookends of his 3.5 year ministry was what Jesus did in the temple. And what he said in the temple. So many of his teachings were in the temple and to the priest and refiner's fire. And in fact, when they came to arrest him and when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Have you come out against the robber to get me? You know, why are you treat me like a robber? Daily I was in the temple teaching you. I was there every day. You heard my words. And you come out against me as though I'm a thief or a robber, but the scripture must be fulfilled." But you see, Jesus' work in the temple, in Jerusalem is one of the things that, hey, this is the Christ. Well, the Antichrist will make himself known by what he does at the temple. Look at verse number 4 of 2 Thessalonians 2. This son of destruction who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. This is the marker. This is how we know who he is. Because the Antichrist will be unveiled, the Antichrist will be revealed when he claims to be God in the temple of God. This is the event. This has got to be the guy when this happens. Now I think this refers to the abomination of desolation that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24, and that he says is what Daniel talked about. Let me just read the Matthew 24 verse 15. Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Again, when this happens, when this man of sin goes into the temple of God and proclaims himself to be God, in the temple of God, it's an abomination that will cause such desolation. And when this happens, Jesus says, let the reader understand. Understand something when this happens. And you know that the Antichrist will do the exact opposite of what Jesus Christ did in the temple. When Christ came to the temple at the bookends of this of his ministry, he cleansed it. He tried to set the priest in order. You know, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of robbers. He cleansed it. He fixed the abominations that were going on in there, in the holy place. He taught truth in the temple. Day by day, he sat in the temple and he taught truth. He healed people in the temple. In fact, in the triumphal entry, Matthew chapter 21 mentions this. Matthew 21 verses 12, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats who were selling, and those who were selling doves. And he said to them, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a robber's den. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. Again, he comes and he cleanses, he teaches, and he heals. That's what he did in the temple. The Antichrist will do the exact opposite. He will desecrate it with an abomination. He will tell lies in it and not the truth. And he will perform in it. You know, one of the hallmarks of our Lord Jesus Christ ministry is he was not a showboat. He didn't make a big deal of all of the miracles that he did. In fact, he didn't shout it from the mountaintops. He didn't shine a spotlight on it. But oh, the Antichrist. He will come to the temple and he will perform a spectacle to be seen. It will be miraculous to be seen. You see, the temple in Jerusalem will be his stage to blaspheme God to blaspheme the angels and the saints in heaven. It will be his stage for the ultimate sacrilege when a sinful man boldly proclaims himself to be God Almighty. And it will be the stage where he will be unveiled and revealed as the man of sin, the son of destruction, the beast, the Antichrist, this man of sin. That's how we will know who he is. Now, just using a little deduction here, you know, for these things to happen, there's got to be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And so, one of the things I'm kind of wondering about, you know, I wonder if it's on the horizon. I'm looking for them to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem. That temple is coming before Jesus is coming back. Notice also the Apostle Paul gives us some more information about this man of sin. He reminds us of some things, and that this man is being, or this events are being restrained. Now look at verse number 5. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Again, they had kind of gotten off base because they had heard a sermon that just didn't quite compute with what they had been taught, and they were worried. And Paul says, remember, I told you this stuff. We already discussed this. You know, we had a Q&A about what was going to happen. And you know, if the Apostle Paul talked about these things with the church in Thessalonica, we should talk about them in our church. He reminds them. But he says, but these culmination of these events, with the Antichrist coming, that it is being restrained until the proper time. Look at verses 6 to 8. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Again, the elements, the ingredients are already here. It's already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken away. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. Again, right now it's being restrained. We don't really, this church knew what it was. We don't really know what is restraining these events. But at some point the restraint will be taken away. There will be a revelation, he will be revealed, and then the Lord will return. And when he returns, he will destroy this man with the breath of his coming. And Revelation 19 talks about that. But that's the order of operation. Right now, the ingredients are all in place, but it's being restrained. Then, when this abomination happens, he will be revealed. And then the Lord will return. Notice also that within all of this, this man of sin, this Antichrist, and this abomination he does at the temple, that miracles accompany this. Look at verses 8 to 9. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Now, one thing about the true Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended upon him at his baptism. In fact, John 3:34 says that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. And the things that he did in his earthly ministry, he did by the finger of God and by the Spirit of God. As he said, I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. By whom do your sons cast them out? He was full of the Spirit without measure. Well, the Antichrist will be full of a different spirit. He will be filled with the evil spirit, Satan himself. And he will be filled without measure. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ was filled without measure by the Holy Spirit, so this man will be filled without measure by the evil spirit, Satan himself. In fact, Revelation 13 and verse 2, it says that Satan will give him his great power and authority, will be embodied in this blasphemous individual. And so miraculous days are ahead. And miracles will accompany this individual. Jesus told us about in Matthew 24, verses 24 and 25. I mentioned it in our prayer time. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. And do you know that just as miracles were one of the things that showed Jesus Christ for him that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God? I mean, Jesus says, if you don't believe my words, at least believe my works. And then they demonstrate that I am doing what the Father gave me to do. Everything that he did was a testimony to who he was. That he was filled with the Spirit of God, that he was sent by God the Father, and his miraculous things that he did demonstrated who he was. In fact, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John, toward the close of his gospel, he says, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which were not in this book, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." When Jesus came, he did all these miracles. He says, you want to see that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins? To the paralytic, take up your mat and walk. His miracles showed who he was, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But so too, this man of sin, the son of destruction, miracles also will show this man for what he is, that he is the Antichrist, the son of Satan, if you will. Revelation chapter 13 verses 13 and 14, we read, "And he performed great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which he was given to them to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had a wound of the sword and had come to life." Or in our text, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, that his coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan with all power and signs and false wonders. So this is how we recognize him. Again, it's in a similar but an opposite way on how we recognize that Jesus was the Christ. It will be a miraculous time in history. You know, there's only been a few really miraculous times in history, little pockets in history, and miracles happened, and well, at the end will be another one of those times. But this time is going to be accompanied, these miracles are going to bring deception. Deception will mark the revelation of the man of sin. This son of destruction, this Antichrist, this beast. I list some here in the notes in Matthew 24. Over and over again, Jesus says, don't be deceived. You know, many false Christs and false prophets, you know, don't believe them. Don't be deceived. And if they say he's out here and he's over there, don't believe them. They're going to perform signs and wonders. Don't believe them. In fact, I think it's in Deuteronomy 13. It says, even if a guy comes and he performs a sign and it happens, but he tells you to worship a God you have not known, you know, he's a false prophet. Don't believe him, even if the signs come true. That That's what's going to happen. Notice again in our text, verses 9 and 10, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. You see, towards the end, when humanity, when God has been so patient with sinful men and giving them time after time to believe the truth, when finally the truth is just, we're not going to believe the truth, you know that they will believe the lie. The true Christ will have been forsaken. And so the Antichrist will be embraced. You know that deception is God's judgment upon those who refuse the truth. The punishment for sin is being given over to more sin. That's what we read in Romans chapter 1. And the punishment for not believing the truth is being given over to believe the lie. Look at verse 11 and 12. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Again, what a privilege it is that we live in a land that is a gospel land. The gospel has been clearly presented in these shores. Jesus Christ has been clearly displayed as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has clearly demonstrated who He is. His life, no one ever lived like Jesus Christ. He's the man of history. Everybody knows this. It has been told for 2 millennia. His ministry was like no other ministry. No one ever did the things that Christ did. Who would give sight to someone who has been blind since birth? Who could raise the dead and cure the leper and walk on water and command the water to become wine and the bread to multiply? I mean, no one but Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The miracles that He's worked, the words that He said that we're still mesmerized with today and cannot even come close to fathoming Him. No one ever spoke like Jesus Christ of Nazareth. His substitutionary death. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. And not only do I lay it down of my own accord, but I have authority to take it back up again. I'm going in the ground for 3 days and I'm going to raise myself from the dead. And He comes back. Comes out of the tomb. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. This declares clearly and plainly that Jesus is the Christ. And this message has gone out for 2 millennia. And people still don't believe. They don't believe the truth. And you know that those who refuse to believe the Christ, they will believe the Antichrist. Because when you forsake the truth, you will embrace the lie. Those who refuse the truth, they'll buy the lie. Oh, that they don't believe in Christ's resurrection, but oh, this guy and a sword rune or whatever, man, it will mesmerize them. What Jesus did at the temple, oh, you know, forget that, but what this guy does at the temple, Jesus' high and holy words. Oh no, forget those. But this guy's blasphemous words. Oh yeah. And there is a great deception that is coming just around the corner for those who refuse to believe the truth. You know, truth is the inoculation for deception. Truth will keep you from deception. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. In John chapter 18, when Jesus is being tried by Pilate, and, well, I don't want to misquote it here, John 18:37, and Pilate said to him, are you a king? And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king, and for this reason I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He who is truth came into the world to testify to truth. And all of those on the side of the truth will hear him. And all those who are not for the truth will not hear him. In fact, Jesus said in John 8:45, he says, you do not believe me because I speak the truth. That's why they don't believe it, because they love the lie. And they love the father of lies. And they will love the embodiment of the father of lies, this man of sin. The wise man in Proverbs says in Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. There is a destructive tongue that is coming. And the evildoer and the wicked and the liar who have refused the truth will listen to that tongue, because they have refused to listen to the tongue of truth. Well, I don't know how to conclude this message. I did pick number 337. And so we will sing this message about belief. I know whom I have believed. You know, I would encourage you this afternoon, or this evening, get a hymnal and meditate on all four of the stanzas in this. We're just going to sing the first and the last. But what a blessed thing it is to believe. And I hope you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Let's sing the last one. When my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, or if I walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able. Church, the truth will set you free. Jesus will lead us into all truth. He is the truth, so believe the truth, and it'll keep you from the lie. Just a word of quick announcement. Again, at 1:30 this afternoon, David Uten is going to be here. We're going to have a quick meeting about the Passover meal that we're having, Lord willing, next Sunday night. And so if any of y'all want to help in the preparation of the foods, we're going to kind of get the lowdown here in about an hour and a half. And so we'll give you time to eat. But that's at 1:30 here at the church. And so if you want to be a part of that, please come back. Well, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. 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 And you are dismissed.